Welcome to What the Health? Where anything health is fair game as we tackle the trends and bust the myths about health and wellness. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Angela Toro.
And welcome to another episode of What the Health. I am Dr. Dan here with my co-host,
Angela. Welcome back, everybody. As you know, at this point, we are here for informational purposes only, in no way offering individualized medical advice. Always talk to your trusted healthcare provider before making changes to your lifestyle. So with that being said, I think this is a good one for this time of year. So we're doing a gut check.
Gut check time.
Talking about listening to your gut, which we hear about all the time. And, you know, the world, just listen to your gut, like that gut feeling when something's right or something's wrong. But
I have a gentleman in my men's group who gave us the acronym. GUT stands for God's Undeniable Truth.
Okay.
Gut check. So, yeah, so this is all about checking in on your gut. And I think part of this that stemmed this discussion was my very interesting story over the last six
yes.
months of my health crises. So,
yes, so that was, this was definitely a very personal, personal one.
So in 2023, so we're at the beginning of 2024 now, 2023, I had two pretty serious illnesses that just kind of came out of nowhere. But when you look back on it, I'll be very blunt and vulnerable. I was not taking care of myself. I was not exercising regularly. I was, you know, other than just some walking on a daily basis. But, you know, between the busyness of practice and the busyness of three kids and also trying to, you know, help a nonprofit organization get up off of the ground, like they're just excuse after excuse that I hear from all of our patients all of the time. And, you know, and sometimes those of us who are in the healing profession take care of ourselves last. So, yeah, I was not making myself a priority, but, what happened in, and I think I shared this story on another podcast, didn't I?
Or
maybe it was just on a Facebook post, yeah. But, basically I started getting it was middle of June, right before we were leaving for a week vacation. I had extreme fatigue and flu-like aches and pains to the point that I never had felt them in my life. And in fact, the Sunday before our last week in the office before we left for work, I couldn't get out of bed. Like it was that bad. And I'm never like that. You know, if I get the flu, you know, I'm down maybe 24 hours and then I'm right back to it. You know, even about a COVID or two, it was like, you know, I'm down for 24, 36 hours and right back to it. But I mean, that was, you know, pain and fatigue like I never experienced it. And, you know, again, being the, you know, very pushing practitioner, I showed up at the office that week, pushed through that week. It was a week before we're leaving for vacation. So, of course, it's a busy week. And you saw me on the floor in the back a couple times because it was like, I had to adjust a couple people. All right, go to the back. But, I pushed through and I started feeling a little bit better. I was being adjusted like crazy because I was getting adjusted almost every day from a colleague of ours. And, you know, I was starting to feel a little bit better as the week went on. But then after the fatigue and pain started to dissipate a little bit, then I was starting to get all these random rashes, like this 1-inch purple rash, you know, these welts that showed up, looked like I was hit with a baseball or racquetball or something. And they'd show up on my stomach. They'd be on the back of my arm, back of my legs, like just very randomly. And it was just kind of migrating around. It would show up in an area. Those would start to fade and they'd show up in another area. That was basically going into the start of vacation and then, you know, happened all throughout
vacation. Exactly what you want for a beach vacation.
I know, right? I didn't care. Yeah, I was like, Aaron, we're getting to the island and, you know, I'll just lay on the beach, whatever. So, once that rash started showing up again that week when it was just aches and pains, I'm like, maybe it's just a really severe case of, you know, flu or whatever. But once that rash started showing up, I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is something a little bit more and, you know, severe. And, you know, the first thing that popped into our mind is the possibility of Lyme. You know, and Lyme is a tick-borne illness. If you are in the northeastern part of the United States, you are very familiar with Lyme disease. But, you know, I had been bit by a tick 18 months, a year and a half prior to those symptoms showing up, and didn't think anything of it. The tick had been, you know, wedged, and, you know, I pulled it out. I didn't have it tested, you know, hindsight probably should have, but, you know, didn't have any symptoms after that. And, you know, again, that's what you kind of watch for. Like if I saw a rash or something show up, nothing showed up. And so didn't think anything of it. And then, you know, again, going a year and a half later, coming out of the pandemic, again, not taking care of myself, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, systems are starting to crash. And it was to the point then, you know, the rash started going away. But then when we got back from vacation in that first week back from vacation, that's when I started getting the joint pain.
Yes. And sorry, I'm laughing. It's funny now.
It is. It's just laughing at me.
I'm laughing now. It was not funny at the time. It was very, very scary. But I'm just thinking about how we're trying to help our mother move a table.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. That was a Tuesday, our non-office day.
Dan and I were on the bottom handing it up to our mom and his oldest son on the top deck, and he got his hands to about his chest and was like, I can't lift anymore. And I was like, okay, I guess this is why I have been working out.
That's right.
As I have to overhead press this table by myself.
You did good.
Oh my gosh. But yes, it was very, very concerning.
And it was, yeah, it was a joint pain. My shoulders, it started like on, you know, I thought I had injured my elbow on vacation. And again, we were doing a lot of activity with the kids. I thought I might have just injured it, but I was getting a lot of joint pain in my inside elbow. But then it was moving to my shoulders. And then I woke up, I think the day after that, I think it was Wednesday, I woke up and my one thumb was twice the size of my other thumb, just extremely swollen. I mean, I really felt like I was an arthritic, you know, individual in their 90s. Like I could not move. And then, you know, again, continuing to push through, I got to Friday and I woke up Friday morning and I could not lift my arms. I jumped in the shower. I couldn't lift my arms above my head to dry my hair. I could not grab my pants to pull them up from my ankles. That's how painful my hands were. And so when I came down, you know, very comically now, when I came down the stairs with my pants down around my ankles, and my wife is like, how in the heck are you going to go to the office?
That's when
now?
I get the phone call.
Like, cancel the morning.
Cancel the morning. And Tan can't put pants
on. He is going to the doctor. So we had a pretty good idea that it was Lyme at that point. And when I went to the and talked to the physician assistant, she listened to my story. She heard me out. She did a fantastic job. She heard me out, and she really, you know, and I had done a blood test earlier that week, and we were waiting on results. But after hearing, you know, the discussion, she agreed with me that it was probably Lyme, and it was probably time to start going on medication. That was the first medication that crossed my lips, if you don't count alcohol, that crossed my lips in 20 years. And boy, was I screaming for it at that point. And it was amazing how quickly it kicked
in. Antibiotic works when you need it.
I was 70% better within 24 hours, 90% better by the end of the weekend. It was amazing how quickly, you know, that it kicked in, to resolve that. So, and again, you know, when you're like myself and you don't take an antibiotic for every little sneeze and sniffle, which you can develop a resistance to, you know, different bacteria, man, it kicked in and worked. And so I continue that process. Now, again, for any of you who are familiar with Lyme, it's very much a systemic. That's why you get all these random symptoms, and it can come and go even after you take an antibiotic. It can, you know, really kind of lie dormant in your system and your tissues. And so I was good for a couple months. And then, what was it? November. It was the day after Halloween.
It was right after Halloween.
It was the day after Halloween. So, I mean, we're looking at 4 months later, 5 months later. I woke up, and again, I had like these really sore lymph nodes behind my ear. You know, and again, it felt like, you know, maybe I had some TMJ issues. Maybe I was getting a little bit of a sinus infection because I was getting some pain up around, like under my eye, above my teeth. So I thought maybe I was getting a sinus infection, which I've had them before in the past. And, you know, so again, as that week progressed, I was getting adjusted and I had another seminar. Man, I was doing a lot of traveling. Oh, yeah. I had a seminar that weekend. So again, the pain was just kind of there. It was really, you know, it was on my scalp and everything. But then, I traveled and I went on a seminar. And then the Sunday when I was coming home, I developed this rash on the top of my head. And as that rash progressed the following week, it was all one-sided and it got extremely inflamed. And as I, again, hindsight 2020 and putting all the symptoms together, it ended up being shingles. And shingles, again, is a chicken pox virus that has lied dormant in your system. And shingles is very much an auto, it's very much an immune deficiency,
generally stress.
Yeah, it's stress induced. Your immune system is suppressed. And so, the virus that is lying dormant in your system now recognizes that, okay, all the security is down. So yeah. Boom, now it pops out. So looking back on it, it makes perfect sense that flared up. Partly because my system was down after, having the Lyme flare up over the winter. Over the summertime. So long story short, much of this can develop from a very poor, gut microbiome. And that's what we wanted to talk a little bit more about, what I have done, in the last couple weeks to get my gut back on track. But it started with the testing. We went to a practitioner that we trusted in the area that does a lot of, blood and stool sample testing, and practices more functional integrative nutrition. He is a chiropractor by trade, but, has moved more into the, the functional integrative, functional testing. So we tested for stool. And we tested for blood, two tests that I could do on my own at home, which I thought is fantastic. Yeah, again, rather than going into a medical doctor and, waiting for the blood draws and all this other stuff, you get a lot more, functional testing, not just the blanket, oh, here's what's in your blood. And, we're not even going to tell you, oh, that looks good, that looks good.
Yeah,
they just tell you
high, low.
Yeah, high, low. Normal. Yeah, it doesn't tell you anything about what it means or how to resolve it, right? Yeah. Without just taking a medication. So sure enough, after I did the blood and stool sample testing, I found some sensitivities that my body was sensitive to. It's not considered an allergy, but it's a food sensitivity test. And, my top ones were peanuts and wheat and cod fish were like the top three that considered +3 and +4 reaction is the highest. And then, of course, +2 is still considered reactive, but those are all the sad ones that ended up being like, beef, salmon, bacon, I think raspberry, I think there was a type of cheese in there, but all of these, minor sensitivities. So now I'm doing this elimination diet to basically take that out, but also eating extremely clean, and again, stuff that we should be doing 90% of the time.
The stuff we always talk about.
Yes, but definitely have gotten away from it and not making it a priority. But knowing how adaptable the system is, within 2 days of actually implementing, the diet and the elimination, massive difference in energy level, massive difference in, how my stomach is feeling. And again, I know I'm going to be losing weight on this. Again, not my main goal, but just making sure, there are ways to test and go deeper into what you should or could or not be eating, based on some of these sensitivity testings to your body. And so, the individual that just has, one healthcare practitioner, doesn't have a healthcare practitioner on their health team, that was really part of my messaging is just, we need to be looking at the body in multiple different directions, to make sure that you're keeping it as healthy as possible. So,
I think that's interesting too. You mentioned the energy level because what people don't, we're finding more and more probably in the last decade, there's been so much that has come out about how important the gut is for overall health and wellness. So not just, obviously, we think about, we've all had digestive issues, from time to time, a stomach bug or, this, that, or whatever, our stomach's been off, but
travel or when constipated,
eat something that goes right through us. Yeah. It's like, we've all experienced that, but not realizing on a day-to-day basis, how much that gut microbiome affects everything. And, they're finding more and more with you know, especially the gut-brain connection. Yeah. So, you know, connections to depression, to Alzheimer's, to, you know, focus and alertness. So, you know, talking about the brain fog and things like that, where, you know, stuff that we used to think was brain issued and is, but so much of that is coming from the gut. And so that's what I always find is like the most interesting thing is, you know, when you eat really clean and you notice that difference, it's just, that's not something that people tend to think about, you know, when you're having a lot of brain fog or, you know, mental health issues or focus issues, you know, we tend to want to think about, you know, kind of focus up on the brain, but sometimes really just getting that, you know, getting to the root of it, which a lot of the times is coming from the gut, can make such a big difference on those, that overall energy level, immune system. Yeah. And our guts are so sensitive to everything. You figure anything that we ingest that has to go through the digestive tract is affecting it in some way, shape, or form. So if you're taking, you know, everybody knows, antibiotics wipes out your, you know, your gut health because it's, you know, it's an antibiotic. It's not differentiating. It's wiping out the bacteria. So, you know, it's pretty well known that, okay, after an antibiotic, you need to take a good probiotic to rebuild that gut health. But, you know, what people don't realize is that pretty much every medication does that.
Because it's chemically based.
Yeah. You know, Advil, if you're taking that regularly, if you're taking any prescription medication, hormonal birth control, like all of these things that are taken on a daily basis are wiping out that gut microbiome in the same way. Our diets, our stress levels, you know, lack of adequate sleep and restorative sleep. So all of these things are, you know, negatively impacting the gut. And so,
well, you have to you know, look at it too. I mean, the one thing that I remember learning when I was in school is, you know, is your gut on the inside or the outside of your body?
Inside. Oh, well, you mean, no. Oh, okay. I see what you're
saying.
So
the tube, you know, your mouth to anus is one long tube. And technically, what is on the inside of that tube is not come in contact with your body yet. And so when you look at, you know, the different layers of immunity, you know, your skin and your lining of your digestive tract is a primary physical barrier, to a lot of, you know, viruses, bacteria, and the outside world. And so if you have a weakened digestive tract, like you just mentioned, with all the medications, stress can impact that, you know, previous infections, you know, not getting good, healthy ingredients. What can happen is, you know, that literally the lining of the digestive tract, you know, much in the stomach, small intestine, large intestine, when that starts to weaken and break down, then you're opening the door for, you know, undigested proteins, viruses that are supposed to be inside the gut, but not inside your body, can start filtering their way into your bloodstream, into your body. And so that's where, you know, the example I used at the beginning where, like, I had, you know, the Lyme flare up, that Lyme may have been in my system. It may have been in my digestive tract, but it was being held at bay by my immune system. And then
I started
breaking down my digestion or just, you know, my overall, you know, microbiome was broken down enough. And so I didn't have the strength of my immune system to keep it at bay. Now, all of a sudden you have this flare up, this viral flare up. And then again, when you have one of those, a lot of times I was reading a book online when I started getting that, you can start to have all these co-infections then because, you know, Lyme, you know, just has such a massive systemic impact on, you know, on your whole body. So it's the same idea. It's like you just have a systemic impact when you're, you know, gut and microbiome is under stress. So, taking care of that is so incredibly important. And a lot of these early signs, like you said, the brain fog, the energy level, the sleep. I mean, a lot of times people don't sleep well when they have poor digestion. So, you know, lack of sleep that leads to more energy issues and then more immune system.
Inflammation. I don't know if you noticed that. I don't know if you retain water as easily as I do, but it's like a couple days of of clean eating, and it's like, oh, I feel like I can like see my joints again. Yeah, and, like, you know, you don't feel as like puffy and inflamed and.
You look like you lost a lot of weight. I really see it in your face.
But it's true.
It's absolutely true. I mean, it's and again, a lot of that is, you know, it's either water being retained in the cell or in the interstitial fluid, you know, between the cells. And it's just that water is there because of inflammation and trying to help circulate it, but it just gets trapped because your whole body is inflamed. And so it's not filtering it out. Once you get a handle on that. Yeah, absolutely. After 2 days of, you know, eating very cleanly, it's like, it's amazing that, you know, the urination kicks up and you're just, you know, kind of filtering that water at a much, much more efficient pace. You know, whereas before you just kind of get stuck. And again, you're addicted, right? You get addicted to the, you know, poor eating habits and the foods that you're consuming. And so, you know, we always talk about how, you know, food is the socially acceptable addiction, right? Yeah. You know, you're taking, you're doing certain drugs or, you know, alcohol, not necessarily socially acceptable, but, you know, you could sit down and eat 3, 4, or 5 cookies in a sitting and no one's going to bust your chops about it. You know, that's just very important to recognize that if you are having some of these early signs and symptoms of, you know, energy level that you can't quite figure out, you know, joint stiffness, especially in the morning. Sometimes a lot of people, that's one of, you know, I would say one of the biggest symptoms that I hear from other of our patients. It's like, yeah, I just wake up and I feel like I'm just stiff and it takes me a while to get moving. Yeah. And again, we always go back to, is this an injury? Is this systemic inflammation? Yeah, or is this, did you just work out really hard?
Yeah, I was going to say, I wake up feeling stiff. That way, but, yeah, but you know why. So, don't make me laugh at her. Yeah.
So, you know, again, just having the healthcare practitioner on your team that's going to be able to guide you through some of that stuff. And if you do, you know, have some of these energy issues, it's not just a matter of, we just did a podcast on the you know, supplementation. It's not just you're going to, oh, start taking a supplement and it's going to magically go away. You might have to really, you know, take hold of what you're putting into your diet, your stress level, your sleeping, your exercise routine, to really help to heal that.
Yeah.
But the good news is your body has the ability to heal. And in fact, your gut lining, just like your skin cells, are some of the most rapidly, you know, breakdown, you know, dying off. It's called apoptosis, right? To, you know, slough off, they die off, and then new ones in their place. So, you know, every 30 days, you've got a brand new layer of skin. Same thing with the digestive tract. Yeah. The problem is when it's under stress, it's not turning over as regularly. So you can actually get, you know, some inflamed, you know, cells that are out of control. And that's where, again, you'll start to get into some of the digestive. You do your, you know, colon cancer screening and, you know, sure enough, they do a, you know, they do the colonoscopy and, you know, oh, there's a polyp there. Oh, there's a polyp there. It's like, well, you know, they're there because there's some sort of dysfunction going on in the actual digestive tract. And yeah, they can go in and clip them off before they become cancerous. That's great. But if you're not changing the system and the environment of why it got there in the first place, well, you're just going to keep getting
more.
What's
the definition of insanity?
That's right.
Repeating the same behavior over and over, expecting a different result.
That's absolutely right. So
and again, we know it. Like we always say, simple, but it's not easy. And we know that it's our, you know,
based on my own experience,
our society has made it incredibly difficult to be healthy. And it is it. We're all kind of living in a, you know, uphill battle because, you know, again, even when you're trying to make the right choices, you know, you got to look at air quality, water quality, all of these things, again, are affecting our entire system, including our guts. So, you know, trying to do everything 100% it's difficult. But again, it's if you can get to the basis of, you know, we were just talking about this in another one. It's like there is no one right diet for all of us, or exercise regimen for all of us, because if there was, we would just all be doing it and everyone would look exactly the same, and we clearly don't. So it's about finding what's right for you. And, you know, I said at the beginning about listening to your gut, and that's a good place to start. So even just doing some self-reflection, self-tracking food logs, I tell people all the time, you know, jotting down what you eat, how you feel after you eat that.
And not just before, like, yeah, not yeah. just directly after, but like within 24 hours.
Yeah.
And so if you're feeling sluggish one day, what did I eat yesterday?
Yeah. That, you know, do you feel, you know, do you feel bloated? Do you feel, you know, you feel like things are going through you too quickly? You know, is are you feeling, like I said, tired, sluggish, achy? Oh. That, you know, that's, these are all important things that, you know, if the more you track and pay attention, the more obvious it becomes. Like our gut really tells us if it likes something or not, you know, you eat something and throw it up, you know, you're not going to eat another bite of it. I hope. I guess that's a whole nother.
As you say, unless it's really, really delicious.
But again, it's like, that's our body. That's a very well-known way for our body to say, yep, something didn't sit right. I'm getting it out. But unfortunately our bodies are giving us these signals maybe in less obvious ways on a daily basis, and people just ignore them. It's like, I'm constipated. That just happens. Or I just kind of bloat when I, you know, that's normal. But it's not normal to walk around feeling bloated and achy and sluggish and tired.
It's
and,
common.
Yeah, it's common.
Well, I mean, you know, going back to what you said at the beginning with the connection between so many of the, you know, the hormones that are in the brain that, you know, stimulate certain, you know, happiness, satisfaction, pleasure, are also in the gut. And they have the same receptors. And so that, you know, that brain-gut connection is so incredibly important. And so the same things that can stimulate that pleasure, you know, and healthfulness in the brain, you know, also stem from the gut. And
that's why fasting is one of... It is so powerful for both the gut, but also, you know, about 48 hours in, they can consider that a dopamine reset. And that's where if you can get through that 48 hours, which sometimes is difficult, it's, you know, people are always like, oh, like, how do you do that? I'm like, I feel great. What do you mean? How do I do it? It's like, it's, you know, hours 24 to 48, I'm never a fan of, but if you can get past that 48 hours, you get this burst of energy. Yeah. You get this mood boost. It's, it's a really powerful thing, especially if you, you know, just you kind of feel yourself caught in this, you know, rut, whether it's a physical rut or mental rut, or, you know, it really helps kind of break through that.
And think about instances where you bring up fasting. Think about instances where, you know, either you or a loved one has been like seriously ill in their life. Are they hungry? Nope. Not typically. they're lying, you know, half dead on the couch or in the bed, and it's like they don't want to move. They don't want to, you know, it's like it's almost like a forced fasting because the body doesn't want, it's focusing on the
healing.
You know, on the healing and the immune system. And that's the other thing that boosts.
Oh, yeah.
Very well documented when you, you know, go, you know, like you said, 24 to 72 hours, 1 to 3 days without food. And again, we're talking like
nothing.
No calories, you know. Yeah. Water, you know, make some salts. You can add some salts if you need it, but
electrolytes.
But 1 to 3 days without food. I mean, not just the, you know, the energy boost, but the immune reset that occurs during that time. And again, a lot of it is because of so much of what's going on in the gut. It's literally, you know, digesting the old garbage that's in there. And it's like, you know, oh, we've got all this, you know, inflammatory stuff that, you know, well, we're not putting food in, so now we're just going to go start eating the, you know, and recycling the broken down stuff that's in the body. And
I couldn't believe that the day after Christmas, without fail, I was sick every I will say that's the one downside to when you eat really clean is
you
when
feel
you
like
don't oh my gosh, it's like I felt like every single year for probably the last 5 years, like right after the holidays, I'm sick. it's all the sugar, all the alcohol, being off the, you know, I try to stay on my exercise routine as much as possible, but still more sitting around than I would usually do. This one happened. It was the day after Christmas, which was convenient. It was a Tuesday, so we were off, and I did not get out of bed. I could not get out of bed. I mean, I was laid out, didn't eat. I was actually planning on fasting that week anyway, so it kind of worked
jump
out.
Start.
It ended up being day one of my fast. I chugged a ton of water, just again getting the fluids in. And I was dreading work on Wednesday. I was like, oh my gosh, like after laying in bed all day, I'm not gonna have the energy to, because that Wednesday was gonna be a crazy day.
Yeah.
I could not believe how I was able to get through that day. I mean, I still had a little bit of like, it was, you know, a little bit of congestion left, but I literally thought I was going to be, it was going to be a challenge, but it's because I think I had that 24 hours of fasting in already and then continued to fast. I mean, by 2 days, I wouldn't have thought I was sick 2 days earlier. I mean, going from literally couldn't get out of bed to I felt totally fine with back in the gym. I mean, it was, that was probably the quickest I've ever rebounded from something like that. And
it's incredible.
It's pretty incredible.
And I have had, I have been in arguments with other professionals about like fasting and, you know, using it for weight loss. And it's like, I don't promote fasting for weight loss. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, will you lose weight when you don't eat for 3 days? Yes, you will.
Yeah,
but that has nothing to do with your long-term weight loss. And, but it has everything to do with kind of doing the control alt delete on your computer system.
Exactly.
It's literally like, hey, we are refreshing. You know, we're going to go shut off the circuit breaker and turn it back on.
Yeah. Like IT 101, turn it off.
And it's amazing the systems and processes that are reset in your body when you do that. And I've read research that, I mean, if everyone fasted for like three, they may have pushed it a little bit longer. I think it was 7 to 11 days once a year. But like if you did a 3 to 5 day fast once a quarter, I think you would be amazed at, you know, the difference that you felt just giving your body a reset. And you do that in conjunction with eating, healthy and your exercise routine. Man, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. That's something, if you're a current patient on our Salutogenic website, we have a lot more information about fasting specifically. I know we kind of got off, well, not really off topic, because fasting and gut health go so hand in hand, because the best way to stop messing up your gut is
stop putting stuff in it.
It's like, I mean, truly, it's the, you know, it's really the easiest way. It's the purest form of elimination diet, right?
Like
eliminate everything. And then the other thing, you know, make sure you're drinking good quality water during that time, because I mean, if you're fasting and then drinking the Pittsburgh tap water, forget it. Yeah. I mean, it's, you really want to make sure you have a good filtration system or doing distilled. Again, if you're doing electrolytes, a good quality electrolyte that's, you know, straight electrolytes, not the Neos that have all the sugar
artificial
and crap and stuff in it.
You had a conversation with a patient a while back about that.
He was like not realizing he was doing like insane amounts of caffeine. I didn't even realize how much caffeine was in those. He had the caffeinated ones.
Wow.
And he was doing them like all day. And when we calculated it up, I'm like, you're basically drinking like 8 cups of coffee throughout the day.
Gosh.
And plus the sugar, plus the added.
Because he wasn't sleeping, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't.
And I was like, stop doing that.
Surprise, I'm sleeping again.
Yeah. So just, little things like that you don't think about, eliminating some of that stuff, giving your body the time to do what, you know, I think there's a book called Design to Heal. That sounds familiar. That's Dr. Dan's book for anyone who doesn't know. It truly that like giving it that time, and it's hard. I just did that 3 day fast. That was probably the longest I have fasted in a couple years. And, you know, I do 24 hours pretty easily.
You stop eating at dinner time
dinner.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Especially as easy as a busy day at the office, you know, that's nothing. But that is definitely the longest I have done. And I did it ended up being like 80 some hours. It was 3 full days. Like I did not eat Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. I broke the fast Friday morning. So it was 3 full days of not eating.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it is incredible how good I felt. I'm like, it's like, okay, conclusion, food makes me feel terrible. So now I'm kind of sort of like you, less structured, but I'm sort of in that like trial and error, trying to figure out like what does make me feel good, because the stuff that I've, you know, kind of relied on in the past, I don't know if it's just because the quality of it has changed. Yeah. I'm sure that's part of it. Or if it's just my body is, you know, again, I'm, you know, into my 30s now. So what worked for me in my 20s, it doesn't seem to be working the same. So
yeah, you just got to dial it in a little
bit
more.
Yeah, it's just kind
of, you know, part of the elimination that I'm doing is, you know, legumes. Like, they don't want me to any legumes.
I cut those out years ago with that, when you recommended the paleo cardiologist book. I found that's a huge inflammatory one for me. My gut does not respond well to that, unfortunately, because I love beans.
I know, right? You know, the Hispanic, you know, tacos.
Yeah. I'll still,
nachos.
It's funny. I'll treat myself to like a good black bean burger is like, to me now, is like a treat, which sounds silly. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are probably like, what? But again, when you don't have it, it's tasty, good. But yeah, it really just comes down to, again, being diligent, listening, and listening to your body, listening, and then working with the health professionals, and just really, you know, committing to yourself and your health, and you know, it has to be a priority, because it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, we know it's
and again, at the end of the day, you know, trying to come up with a good why behind you know what you're doing, and you know, if it's just, hey, there's a difference between, hey, I want to get out of pain versus I want to be able to bend over and pick up my grandkids or get on the floor with my grandkids.
Put your shoes on, get dressed by yourself. Not have to rely on
them. Yeah. I mean, and that's just it. So what's the why behind, you know, the change that you're going to commit to? And I will tell you, you know, the whole, again, we're kind of at the beginning of the year and New Year's resolutions and all this stuff. It's like, you know, I know the research says, 21 days to form a habit. No, it's probably a solid 90 days to actually, instill a good, you know, healthy routine, that you are going to then continue beyond that. So, yeah. So if you have any questions, this was talked a lot about gut health. Again, a lot of the stuff we talked about is just good for overall health and well-being. If anything resonated with you, or if you have more questions about specific tests that maybe you could do, because you're starting to, you know, feel sluggish, or, you know, joint pain, or, you know, a number of different, you know, ailments, and you think that something could be underlying that, you know, your medical professional isn't asking about or doesn't have a clue about, maybe it's time to start looking deeper. So feel free to check out our website, as always, TuroFamilyChiropractic.com. And you can always reach out with specific questions to us. And I think that's about it. And we'll see you at the next one.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Check your gut. Talk soon.
You've been listening to What the Health with Dr. Dan and Angela Toro, brought to you by Toro Family Chiropractic. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.whatthehealth.world.